This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later on today's show, we'll hear about the YWCA's campaign against racism. But first, if you have a website, you're a publisher. If you're on social media, you're in marketing. In other words, we're all writers. So says Chief Content Officer for Marketing Profs, Ann Handley, who's also an author and monthly contributor to Entrepreneur Magazine. Her latest book is Everybody Writes, Your Go-To Guide to Creating Ridiculously Good Content. Ann joins us this afternoon, and if you have any questions about improving your writing or your content, give us a call at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Ann, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Anna, explain what content marketing is and why organizations should care about content.
Sure. Happy to. So, you know, content marketing is essentially just a sort of business process for creating and distributing information that your buyers or your prospects or your customers want. So think of it this way, you know, advertising is kind of a luxury in a sense, but in my mind, you know, content is really what you need to do these days to be competitive and to be relevant in the minds of the folks you're trying to connect with.
So it sounds like content marketing is broader than just, say, the example you were giving of advertising.
Oh, yeah. I mean, content marketing actually is essentially what is marketing these days. You know, in our always-on sort of social media-driven digital world, it's essentially the, you know, your ability to take advantage of all of those tools that we now have at our disposal to, again, to connect with the folks you're trying to connect with, to grow your audience and really to build trust and connection with that audience.
So how are companies and organizations doing today with their content marketing? Are they embracing this idea?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, every year, Marketing Profs, my company, does a survey in which we ask marketers, businesses, you know, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing with content these days? You know, how's it going? And we find that overwhelmingly, you know, marketers are creating content, businesses are creating and distributing content. But it's a different way of thinking. You know, it's a shift in mindset. And so I think where we're at now is that folks are still struggling with that a little bit. Folks are still struggling to, you know, how do we actually create the stuff that our customers want that they will find valuable? You know, like I said, it is sort of a shift in mindset. So I think it's a manner of you know, sort of getting some new muscles around these processes that we need to think about these days.
Mm-hmm. Hey, can you give me some examples of companies that are getting this idea?
Oh, yeah. Let me see. Well, I mean, probably the company who I think is just doing a fantastic job, and it's a big company, so they have a lot of resources and they have a lot of money to put toward it, is General Electric. They published something called GE Reports, which is essentially, you know, a news and information site that's targeted toward engineers, shareholders of GE, as well as customers. And what they're doing on that site is they're really shifting the perception of GE. They're talking about what GE does. You know, they tell the stories inside the company, what they're working on, new technologies, and so on. And it also has PR value for GE. So just a quick example of a story that they told recently of how CAT scans are evolving. Increasingly, they're creating 3D images through their diagnostics and so on. And then they tell the story of why that's important to both medicine as well as to patients. So the story that they originally wrote about, you know, how 3D images are increasingly, you know, what CAT scans are all about these days, was a story that they originally published in 2015. And that original story got picked up, you know, by everyone from like Newsweek and Time to the Washington Post. Now, you know, fast forward a year later, 18 months later, when, you know, the 3D imaging CAT scans have now gone through clinical trials and so on, and now they tell the story again of, you know, here it is now, you know, here's what's been happening at the Florida hospital where we've been testing this program. So my point of telling you this story is that, you know, it's a great example, I think, of how content can act both as, you know, a source information, valuable information to the audiences that you're trying to attract, but also has a sort of PR value, you know, when you do it right. And, you know, in GE's case, they really are covering topics at a sort of depth and breadth that really doesn't exist otherwise, you know. So in that way, they're really telling their own stories And as a result, you know, sort of getting lots of PR value out of it and really just owning their story, so to speak.
Yeah, Bill Gates wrote an article back in 1996 that was titled Content is King. And he said that's where the money will be made on the Internet. What do you think of that 1996 prediction? Is he right?
Yeah, well... Yeah, he was certainly pretty prescient in that, but yes, absolutely. You know, I mean, Seth Godin said, I think a decade ago, you know, content marketing is the only marketing that's left. And the reason he said that is because, you know, when you think about it, you can go the traditional route of marketing. You can sort of beg for attention through, you know, PR and news outlets, or you can, you know, you can pay for it, right? You can broadcast your own message through advertising. Or you can go this third way, which is really to embrace the opportunity that content offers and really tell your story yourself.
Yeah, you're the world's first chief content officer, at least that's what I've heard.
Indeed.
tell me the story of how that came about.
So it was sort of a title that I gave myself, about 15 years ago at this point. I used to have a company called Quixie.com, which was one of the first sources of interactive marketing information online. We started that company in 1997, so that was back when the web was, you know, sort of this nascent thing. And I gave myself the title of Chief Content Officer because, you know, content was what we were publishing. Essentially, it was like an online newsletter to help businesses market better online. And it felt like that content was important enough to be part of, you know, part of that C-suite. And so I sort of just made it up as sort of a newer incarnation of like, you know, an editor-in-chief, say, or like an editorial director. And so kind of stuck.
So do you think more companies should have a chief content officer? You got CEOs, CEOs.
Yeah, we're definitely seeing that. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think even if they don't hold the title chief content officer, and certainly I do see more people holding that title, but even if we don't see that specific title, you know, we are seeing more content roles within companies, and, you know, it's something that companies are actually putting money toward. They're staffing and realizing that somebody needs to own that title or that function within the organization.
So you're saying that the successful companies of this are developing in-house writers as a key part of their marketing departments?
Yeah, and not just writers either. I mean, certainly writing is one expertise, but, you know, video, audio, you know, all kinds of ways to think about creating content, visual. So it's really not just about writing per se, although certainly, you know, that's something that's close to my heart because I started as a journalist, and I do believe that writing is critical to content marketing success. But, you know, at the same time, there's also lots of other ways to tell your story, to create content. Again, you know, you can through video, through audio. That's why we're seeing the rise of podcasting, for example. So there's, you know, there's a zillion ways really to think about embracing content.
Now, what's been the impact of the internet and social media on the quality of content?
Well, that's an interesting question.
The quality of writing in general, yeah.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, as I talk about, you know, the opportunity that our digital world has given us as companies, as businesses to embrace content marketing and to sort of tell our stories ourselves, you know, of course, the reality is that we all have that opportunity, and some of us take it more to heart than others. And so there's an awful lot of mediocre content that's being created. You know, my opportunity is your opportunity is everybody else's. And so so there's an awful lot of stuff out there that I think is not quite up to par, which is in part why I wrote Everybody Writes, which is in part why I wrote my last book, Content Rules, as well, is to really to sort of challenge us all to see this as an opportunity and kind of up our game collectively and how we think about content and about writing.
And how much of an impact have social media had on writing at the personal level? How's this all translate? It's obviously very important for businesses, but what effect does this have on us at the personal level? Because it seems like these days, it's not just companies that have a brand image, but it's individuals as well because of the social media and the internet.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's true to a point, although I sort of hate the idea of individuals having, you know, personal brand, so to speak. I mean, I know it's a term that we hear a lot. I mean, I guess I just think of it as, you know, really, really thinking about how you're communicating, you know, how is it, you know, what words are you using online? You know, I don't get too caught up in, you know, grammar and things like that. I mean, certainly that's important, but, you know, in my mind, I think it's more important to be understood. So I guess, you know, in terms of individuals, you know, I mean, I think we all are trying to be understood. We all want to be heard. So I think, like, you know, things like Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, it is important to think about the words you're using there, in the sense that, you know, are you being clear in your communication? You know, are you wasting the time of your audience, or are you being direct?
We will continue our conversation with Ann Handley, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. My guest this afternoon, Ann Handley. Her latest book is Everybody Writes, Your Go-To Guide to Creating Ridiculously Good Content. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. So, Ann, is there something that defines good content, certain qualities that it has?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, as relates to businesses, definitely. I mean, I think the best content ultimately is what your audience will value. And notice I'm not saying customers there, I'm saying audience, because I think the important thing about content is that you're not just talking to the already converted, right? You're not just talking to people who are already buying from you, but you're really thinking about it as an opportunity to you know, build an audience to nurture that relationship with you. So I think it's what your audience finds valuable. So in my mind, I would define it as, you know, any information that your audience would find incredibly useful. And then from your point of view, you know, approaching it with a little bit of inspiration as well, you know, whether that's inspired by data, you know, maybe it's something that you know about your audience, or maybe it's creatively inspired, or maybe it's a little bit of both.
Does content matter even in something as mundane as, say, an email? That's one of my brother-in-law's big gripes, sloppy emails. He sees a lot of them in his line of work.
Yeah, right. I mean, we all get a lot of email, right? No one ever says, God, I wish I had more email. And so, yeah, absolutely it matters. You know, in when I was talking about, you know, thinking about things from your audience's point of view, you know, what will your audience value? And I think the same is true of email, too. Really thinking about what am I trying to say here and not spending a lot of time wasting anybody's time. You know, we all get a lot of email, like I said, and so if you want your email to be read and acted on and paid attention to, I think the most important thing is to really just get to the point, right? And just not waste anybody's time and just really just figure out what is it that you want to say and what is it that you're looking for.
So in this age of instant online reviews, how does a company control the message that's out there about its products?
You don't, essentially. I mean, you
don't even
control.
Try. Okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't control the message anymore. I mean, that's in part why it's great to think about the opportunity that content marketing offers you of telling your own story. I mean, all you can do is, you know, use it as an opportunity to connect with customers, to grow your audience, like I said. But you certainly can't control things anymore. You know, if you ever could, I don't know that you ever could. But definitely, you know, in a world where, you know, we can go on Yelp and leave a customer review, or Amazon and leave a product review, or, you know, a million review sites out there, you really can't control it anymore.
And have audiences, as you put it, have they become more savvy and more smart about recognizing bad content, bad copy, bad emails, things that are just poorly put together?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, think about your own life, right? I mean, we live in a really noisy world, right? There's all kinds of stuff coming at us, you know, all the time. And so I guess the question becomes, you know, what do you pay attention to? You pay attention to those companies and those organizations that, you know, are empathetic to your needs, right? That are giving you the value that you want. And so, you know, I just think it's a matter of, you know, figuring out or understanding, I should say, that, you know, your audience is really busy, and so how is it that you are going to break through the clutter? And a big piece of that, I think, is just, you know, is not producing the same old stuff that everybody else has produced, that everybody else might be producing, but instead really, really embracing the opportunity to be different, you know, to be unique, to tell your own story with your own unique point of view.
But then there's Twitter, though, Ann. I mean, how do you create great content in the age where one of the communications devices that you're using is limited to 140 characters?
Yeah, I mean, actually, I love Twitter. I think Twitter is a tremendous opportunity. You know, and the reason why I love Twitter is because it's truly an opportunity to connect with the people you are trying to reach directly. You know, it's sort of an unfiltered environment, which I love. And so, yeah, I mean, I absolutely think it's a great opportunity to tell a story, even at 140 characters. You know, think about like what DiGiorno Pizza does on there. You know, they have such a personality, or Taco Bell is another great example. They have such a personality on there that you sort of get a feel for, you know, this company. And they're not just on there talking about their specials and tweeting out specifics. Instead, they have a real personality there. So I think Twitter does allow you to have a personality. It allows your company to have a personality. You know, again, if the folks you are trying to reach, you know, if your audience is on Twitter, then, you know, absolutely.
So I guess the benefit then is that since you're limited, you have to be clever and you have to think of ways of being direct and to the point.
Yeah. I mean, it's also, you know, about providing value to your audience. You know, I mean, I tweet under the @MarketingProducts handle, so I'm representing my company on Twitter, you know, and so I'm not necessarily funny and snarky like a Taco Bell might be on there, but I am providing value to the audience, you know, even at 140 characters. So I think ultimately it depends on who your audience is, who you're speaking to, and how, you know, how they're used to be or how you want to communicate with them.
We had a question by email, and someone who says their company does not grasp the importance of content marketing, and there's not much support for it. So he's asking, what could he do to jumpstart the process?
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately you've got to have someone who believes in you, you know, at the boss or somebody at higher up who is able to sort of be a champion on your behalf in the C-suite. And I think the best way to sort of start to convince somebody of that is to just look for some small wins. You know, find one business challenge and, you know, start approaching it with a content strategy point of view and see if you can get some small wins about it. I mean, there's certainly lots of companies out there that really are not on board yet, and I think there's a huge opportunity there for companies who are in industries who may not be, you know, sort of may not be like the GEs yet, you know, but really there's an opportunity there for lots of companies to do that.
Is this a place where having a chief content officer would come in handy?
Yeah, probably, but you know, that's obviously that's not the first move that I think a lot of companies would make. You know, the first more likely move would be that they'd do something like launch a blog or something that would you know, some bit of content or some bit of publishing that would sort of start to get to this. I mean, there's not a lot of companies that are going to go out and, you know, hire a chief content officer right off the bat. That's something that's, you know, maybe a generation or two down the road.
Yeah, you talk about a couple of things in your book that I thought were very interesting. One of those is the word weblish, and the other one is is Frankenwords. And I wonder if you can explain, first off, what weblish is. I love that word. What's it mean, and why is it a bad idea?
So the idea of weblish is really just taking words that are more from that have sort of sprouted from technology and applying them to people. And so what I'm suggesting is that, you know, they're really not great words to use if you are trying to communicate with an audience, in part because, you know, they sort of are just, they don't say anything, right? They're not really conveying much aside from it sounds like, you know, you make yourself sound a little bit like a robot. So I'm just suggesting that you find a more human-based word to embrace there.
What about Frankenwords? What is a Frankenword?
Frankenword.
I'm afraid to ask.
Well, if you have to ask. No, a Frankenword is when something is sort of mashed together, you know, much like a Frankenstein monster is sort of, you know, various parts sort of bolted together. So it's just a sort of an ugly word that's been kind of bolted together in various ways to create something that's, you know, not very attractive. So something like a Snowmageddon would be a great example of that.
Okay. And these are just, I guess, for the same reason as weblish, just not a good idea in communicating.
Yeah, it's just not a good idea.
What would you say is the very first thing, the very first step that people should take toward improving their writing and becoming better at creating good content?
Yeah, I mean, I think the most important thing is just to think about the audience that you're trying to attract, you know, the folks that you want to talk to, and then just start communicating with them at kind of a human level. Don't worry too much about, you know, sounding like you need to be a buttoned-up business, you know, but instead just really creating information that audience will find valuable.
And Ann, you'll be making your second trip to Cincinnati this week to speak to the Cincinnati AMA, and I think that's going to be on Wednesday. Can you give us a preview of what that will be about?
Sure. So in Cincinnati on Wednesday, I'm going to be talking about, you know, how do we actually create the kind of content that is not mediocre, that it will allow your business to stand out from the crowd. So one of the things that I'll be talking about is creating bigger, bolder, and braver content. And I'll explain what that is in Cincinnati. But essentially, it's you know, how do we actually create the kind of content that will entice the folks that we want to entice, and really will put your business or your story or your company into a larger context of what people care about.
Well, Ann, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
Chief Content Officer for Marketing Profs, Ann Handley. Her latest book is Everybody Writes, Your Guide to Creating Ridiculously Good Content. And as part of the Cincinnati AMA Signature Speaking Series, Ann will be presenting, as she was saying, Bigger, Bolder, Braver, The Key to Great Marketing in 2016. That's going to be this Wednesday at the 20th Century Theater, and you can find a link to more information at wvxu.org.